everyone. Right, I've left a picture up on the screen. I'm going to ask you, what can you see in this picture? Because there's something in this picture that I'm going to talk about. A baby. Right. Yeah. Angels, yeah. Anything else? Arrows. Shepherds. Straw, yeah. Well, you're getting close to what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk a little bit about the manger. In Luke 2, verse 7, it says these words, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room, no guest room available for them. The manger. What a strange place to be placed. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Saviour, the revelation of God, appearing in a manger. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. It's already been mentioned this morning that God with us. But a manger. Why a manger? I think there's a lot of importance in the reason of a manger. We read a bit more of the story of Christ's birth and after his birth in Matthew chapter 2. And in that chapter we read of the Magi. Now they come from the east to see a newborn king. Where did they go? To a manger? No, they went where they would presume a king would be. They went to a king's palace. There's Jesus there. This was probably at a time, sometime after Jesus' birth. But we still think of a manger. Why a manger? You think of Christ and how he was to be perceived. In Psalms 118, verse 22, it says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Has this some relevance to the manger? In Luke 20, verse 17, it says, Jesus looked directly at them and asked, then what is the meaning of what is written, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? In Acts 4:11, it says Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. In that first verse I read out to you in Luke, it says, if you remember, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room, no guest room available for them. What does this show? What does this tell us? What does it tell us about the manger? This shows the initial rejection of man at this time. No room available. No room available. Man's rejection. So a manger was offered, a feeding trough, probably the least place you'd expect to find a king, our king. Smelly, possibly with animals, and possibly open. Is this describing the position of Christ, the newborn king? Rejected. Is this how today's society sees Christ, the newborn king? In Matthew, it also describes the cost of following Jesus. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." What are your feelings on the manger? Your place, your stand, your following. It's a manger. It's where the King of Kings was, the Lord of Lords, our Saviour. Christ, born in the lowest of low places. Not in a palace where you would expect, but a manger. I think it tells us one more thing. In this stable, as we look at it now, or it may have been a cave or something for livestock to dwell in. The purpose of that manger in that setting would be to feed. And that's what our Lord, our King, our Saviour also came for. In John 6 verse 57, it says, "Just as the living Father sent me, as I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds me on me will live because of me." We look at that picture and we see quite a few different things. But the centre focus is the manger. How do we look at the manger? I've gone through several examples, but to summarize it, we can see how quaint, how nice. We might see how low, how rejected. We might see how costly. We might see how powerful. But it is just a manger. How do we feel? Amen.